Extra time.
He shoots, and it's a goal!
Hello, Team FD, and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast. That's right, two on the bounce. Spoilt. Don't say we never treat you. And joining me, it's the two OGs. It's Joseph Tomlinson and Patrick Van Straaten. And to dovetail nicely with last week's topic of players who could fix your club, this week we're doing players your club should avoid signing, as well as facts with Rafa Benitez. Let's get going.
Right, so I'm starting off with a transfer that Arsenal should avoid. There are obviously plenty of these, and yet they will make them anyway. So I've gone for Denis Praet to Arsenal, or Praet, it actually should be pronounced. I did that incorrectly. Anyway, I don't think this is a terrible one. I'm not saying this is an awful one, and that kind of goes for both of my transfers. He's not particularly brilliant in any one regard, but I think he is generally good at most things. I think he'd be a useful squad player if you had him in your team.
I don't know... I know pretty much nothing about this player. So for the people who don't know Denis Praet, what position does he play?
He plays as a central midfielder, okay. Though you might have noticed him first when he was kind of playing in a wider role for Anderlecht when he was younger. He was linked with a lot of Premier League moves then. He actually played against Arsenal in those days, and we were linked with him strongly at the time. And Arsene Wenger said he's a bit weak physically, which, given the team that Arsene Wenger built at Arsenal, is pretty fucking damning. But anyway, he's really beefed up now, and he's playing for Sampdoria in Italy. And last year, he was paired with Lucas Torreira in the centre of the Sampdoria midfield. And this summer, he's being linked with Arsenal, where he could re-team with Torreira, and with Milan, where his former coach at Sampdoria, Marco Giampaolo, is going to be taking over. So I think that at 25, he wouldn't be the worst signing. Like, he could do a lot of things. He plays in that deep role. He's pretty good in transition because he's very comfortable on the ball, pretty two-footed, good passer, decent dribbler. So if you want a kind of heir to that Santi Cazorla, like, you know, press-resistant position in midfield, which obviously Granit Xhaka is super not, then Praet would not necessarily be the worst guy. And in 2017-18, when he was alongside Torreira, he was really, really good. Like, this year, he's got just over one dribble per 90 with a 60% success. Last year, it was two dribbles per 90 with a 70% success, which is pretty outstanding, actually, in central midfielders. There's actually quite a small number of central midfielders who complete two dribbles a game, right? And his defensive output was four tackles and interceptions a match. This year, it's down to about three. One chance created a game, 50 passes, two long balls, all totally solid. Totally solid stuff. And the rumoured fee is that Arsenal are going to pay, as part of this €55 million double deal for him and Joachim Anderson, he would cost 25 mil of that.
Okay, it doesn't seem like a lot.
It's not a lot.
Seems like a non-risk.
It's not a lot, but my issue here is not so much that Praet would not be good as that you could spend that money a bit better. When you're Arsenal and you're potentially strapped for cash, though given the rumours we're hearing, maybe they're not as strapped for cash as we thought, I think 25 million is quite a lot for a guy who is not, like, you know, an incredible talent. Like,
and not going to be a nailed-on starter.
Well...
surely not, given
you
that...
You wouldn't have thought so, would you?
I mean, looking at Arsenal midfield this season, like, there's been heavy rotation, hasn't there, between, like, Xhaka, Torreira, Guendouzi.
Yeah, there have been injuries as well. And also, you don't want to trust, like, a 19-year-old Guendouzi for the whole season, right? I mean, it's possible that we could go to a 4-3-3 and he would have a more regular role, you know, because if you bring in a winger like Carrasco, you could feasibly play Aubameyang and Carrasco.
I was going to get to Carrasco. Are you worried about accumulating, rather than making significant progress with the signings... you know, they're being touted in the summer. Are you worried about accumulating kind of just good players? More like 6-7s out of 10s that aren't necessarily going to push you up the league table. Is that your biggest reservation with this guy? Because I feel like Carrasco is kind of in that ballpark as well, right? In that it's not a inspirational signing, but it's a solid signing. It's a decent signing. But does it chip away at fifth, fourth place?
I think Carrasco probably does. I actually think Carrasco is quite a bit better
than
that.
So do I, actually.
And also the advantage of Carrasco is that... he's so cheap for what he is.
25 as well, right?
Yeah, 25 million euros, supposedly. Yeah. And that's probably less than we pay for Ryan Fraser. And Carrasco and Ryan Fraser are a couple of months apart in age. Carrasco's obviously experienced at the highest level. He's very quick. I think just having a proper winger would be an improvement.
Having some speed is essential.
Would be an improvement on Arsenal's kind of squad makeup. So that could make a bit of the difference. And a few more 7s out of 10, like the squad could use some of those. But here the issue is more opportunity cost, right? So, like, sometimes if you go and do one thing, it means you don't have the ability to go and do another thing. And my issue here is that instead of spending 25 million on Pratt, you could spend, say, between 10 and 15 million euros on Joan Jordan.
Right? Yeah.
So he's at Eibar. Obviously had a very good season. He turns 25 this summer, but he's still 24 now, so he's a little bit younger than Pratt, but not a lot.
Yeah, you look me in the eyes when you say Eibar. I've been obsessed with their season.
Well, we've talked about Jordan a lot as well before, and he's just a really solid player. I mean, came from Espanyol for about €1 million a couple of seasons ago. And again, also about 50 passes a match, 2 key passes a game this season from a deep role, which is pretty spectacular, though they are mostly from set pieces. But Arsenal could do with a decent set piece delivery, particularly right footed, because we've got the left footers, we don't have the right. Also puts up 5.4 long balls a match, which is more than Xhaka, and with a better accuracy than Xhaka. And that's been one of the issues. Like, Xhaka's got incredible defensive deficiencies and he's an idiot. But his forward passing, his progression, genuinely excellent.
I mean, I was actually considering Granit Xhaka amongst my suggestions for these players not to sign this summer, when obviously heavily linked into Milan to the tune of what was reported this morning at €55 million, Jesus. Which seems an incredible overspend in my opinion.
That would be nice though, could do with that money.
But like, I was looking at him compared to your other midfield. He is genuinely like your only progressor. I mean, Guendouzi's trying his best, I think. Sat at like 7.5, something like that. But Xhaka's just so far ahead of all your other midfield progressors.
He was like third or fourth in the league last season for final third entries. Yeah. I mean, among all players. Like, look, I think because Guendouzi's so young, it's kind of okay to say maybe we could get there. And if you play a 3-man midfield, you can afford to play maybe an Iwobi or a Pratt or someone in there who can run with the ball at their feet. So that might help. But I think that if you were going to replace Xhaka this summer, you would want to get somebody who had that passing ability. And Jordan has it. 3 tackles and interceptions a game. It's not top level, but it's about the same as Xhaka. And I think that because he's a bit more rangy than Xhaka, I think he's more likely to be in the right place at the right time. He's used to playing in a very defensively solid system, which I think would be good.
I also saw, by the way, Xhaka's shot locations today.
Oh, mate.
Oh, my. You know, he took 67 shots this season, scored once.
Yeah, but you know our fans, though? Like, our fans literally scream at him to shoot, and then they complain when he blasts it into Rosetta. He's so annoying. To be honest, though, Ramsey used to do that. Ramsey would be the guy who we'd have a promising attack, he'd get it 30 yards out, and he'd shoot. And I just think, if you're a top side where you've got runners in the final third, that's never the best option. So I think that Jordan would be good, or failing him, I'm not going to talk about him that much, but the guy I talked about a little while ago was Ismail Benacer, who was the Arsenal Academy kid who's now at Empoli, who actually, I'd say, is better than both these guys. More tackles and interceptions, more dribbles. You can have him back for about €10 million. He's 21.
So is that more what you think you need as Arsenal? You don't think you need that Ramsey replacement directly?
What is a Ramsey replacement? Is it a midfielder who just attacks and doesn't defend?
I think in my head, like, an ideal Ramsey replacement would be like an attacking eight, like a more advanced eight. Do you think you need another like sitting midfielder? Like, I feel like if there's one area of the squad you've got an abundance of, it's that. I know that they might not be the best progressors, but in like Torreira and Guendouzi, I feel like you've at least got two players that can break the game up, and you're hoping Guendouzi can become that progressor.
But Ramsey's only job really was to be the extra man in attack. Ramsey didn't do ball progression because he's not an outstanding passer,
but
he was good
at that extra
he's not
man
a good
attack.
Yeah, but he's not a good dribbler.
Yeah,
like he's not a good defender. So all Ramsey did was be the third man breaking into the box. And if you play a 3-man midfield, you can afford to play somebody like Iwobi there.
Yeah.
Or you can play, you know, Jordan's got pretty good attacking numbers. Or that third man can be Carrasco. Like, I think you just might need a little bit of a change of structure. But I actually think Ramsey, for all that Ramsey put up good goals and assist numbers, he didn't put up much of anything else. And Ramsey at a lot of points was more of a problem in defence than he was an advantage in attack. Arsenal's issue last season was not, their attack wasn't great, but defence was way, way, way more of an issue. And I think you solve the defence before you try and solve the attack.
I mean, I didn't watch, you know, an incessant amount of Arsenal, but whenever I did, you looked a better side with Ramsey in it.
But we looked a better side with Mkhitaryan.
I know he's not
going to
be the guy who progresses the ball 30, 40 yards from the centre of midfield. But he seemed to have the same kind of impact that Gylfi Sigurdsson had for Everton this campaign, where he picks up the ball in the final third, doesn't do an awful lot before it, but brought Lacazette into the game a little bit more with his movement, kind of freed space up for Aubameyang to run into. I do not think you lack a really intelligent kind of, maybe hybrid number eight.
To be honest, Ozil's better at all that stuff than Ramsey is. Like, he genuinely...
Is he going
to
play as an out-and-out 10, though?
I don't know, but Ramsey never played as an out-and-out 10. Like, I mean, the thing about Ramsey is, like, just having that extra man in attack, we looked better. Whoever it was, we looked better when it was Mkhitaryan as well. Like, Mkhitaryan had really good goals and assist numbers this season, playing as that extra guy buzzing around the box. Like, I think a lot of people who don't watch Arsenal think that Ramsey was, like, really vital to our side. He played about 1,200 minutes in the league this season. It's barely anything. And, like, if you go out there and get a guy who can... If you're going to get somebody who you want to do that attacking stuff... There are now players you can get who will do that attacking stuff while being much more of a disciplined midfielder. My point here is more that like Pratt for 25, get Hordam for 10 to 15. If you're going to spend a bit more, Lorenzo Pellegrini supposedly has a 30 million euro buyout clause. He is just as good an attacker as Ramsey. He's much younger and he does more defensive work and he's a better ball progressor. So I feel like if you do want that attacking guy, you can go out and spend, but then you're going to need to spend more than you were going to spend on Pratt.
Yeah, I would like, I mean, obviously I've mentioned Jordan before on previous podcasts, but Pellegrini are those options for Arsenal. That sounds to me a more kind of a more ambitious signing. That would level you up straight away.
But I think you'd also need, though, immediately to ditch, to get rid of Ozil and Mkhitaryan probably in that situation. Because you don't bench Ozil for Pellegrini, because Pellegrini's nowhere near as good a creator as Ozil. He does a bit more defensive work, but then I think you're going to need to do a midfield shift around. You are going to have to pay a three if you pay Pellegrini.
That's a scenario you find yourself in already though, right?
Well, I don't know. I have no idea. Like, the thing about Emery is he's always liked to play 4-2-3-1 during his career. And the only reason he hasn't done it this season, I think, is because he doesn't have the wide players and he knew that he couldn't trust a back four. So he tried to play a three.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If he has defenders he likes, he will try and go to 4-2-3-1. And to be honest, towards the end of the season, he was starting Ozil in every big game. And like, the idea that he was benching Ozil all the time didn't really ring true over the second half of the season. So I honestly don't know. That's my worry about Emery. I'm just thinking about, if I have this money to spend and they say I'm going for this player, then I say I can get you a better player for cheaper.
Yeah.
You're going to end up with Steven Nzonzi.
You know what? Steven Nzonzi would have been good a couple of years ago, but I think he'd be more likely to end up at Celtic with Phil Jagielka.
Decent.
Is that where PJ's going?
P Jags. There's been rumours.
36-year-old Jagielka.
Sheffield United.
Yeah, but he's only 32. In
Sheffield
Scottish
United games, so. And those overlapping centre back runs from Chris Wilder just not accepting of P Jags. All right, I'll come in with mine next then. I've gone a little bit closer to home. I've gone Kieran Trippier. I think he would be a poor signing for pretty much every club that's been linked to him, and there have been a lot of clubs linked to him.
I agree with that.
Most recently, Atletico Madrid, where I think he would be. That would actually probably be the worst option.
Although, if there's one coach that could turn him into a half decent defender and probably increase his defensive output, is Simeone. Isn't it?
Though it didn't work with Schalke, it didn't work with Arias, and they're more talented than Trippier.
And I also think
Schalke has made of lollipop sticks.
And I also think
he asks a lot physically of his.
If there's one manager that gets the best out of fullbacks in world football, it's Poch. Like, you think what Poch did with, like,
true.
Luke Shaw at Southampton, and what
he's
done with...
He got that Trippier last season, didn't he, going forward?
To a level.
Less so this season.
I actually think last season was, like, spectacularly overplayed. His, like, forward
by last
numbers.
Season, what are we talking, 18, 19 or 17?
So 17, 18, you're talking about.
Because this is getting confusing.
He only registered 5 assists. And it's pretty strong.
Yeah, but he was also their chief ball progressor, right?
Yeah.
By the numbers, he progressed 100%. The ball more than anyone else at Tottenham.
And that is by far his biggest positive. Like, the leading ball progressor in Tottenham Hotspur, leader for balls into the penalty area for Tottenham Hotspur.
That's bananas.
But they all come from crosses, pretty much.
Sure.
And this season...
They're a big team, though.
They are a big team, but this season, significant drop-off in, like, pretty much every aspect of his game. And defensively, just howling.
His numbers look bang average.
Absolutely all over the place. Like, I asked some of the Tottenham Hotspur fans in the office today about Trippier, and they were just like, just a calamity. Like, this season, he's given away so many big goals for Tottenham Hotspur.
I think people were willing to kind of... his forward contribution always offset that, right? And it's getting to the point now where it's like, if your final ball is not going to be of the same level.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are now like looking at him and thinking, a lot of his open play crosses have suddenly gone wayward. Like, still a fairly decent dead ball specialist, but Christian Eriksen kind of usurps him at Tottenham Hotspur, and I think that would be the case at quite a few of the other clubs he's linked to be totally honest. He's 28 as well, 29 this year, and the fees we're talking about, like £40 to £50 million, which I think is
what?
Which is heavy.
I thought they were going to let him go for like 20 or
I
something.
I saw 25 to Napoli.
He's under contract.
Yeah, because they might sell Hussein to
he's under contract until 2022 with an option for an extra year. Like, Daniel Levy is not going to let a four-year contract, I don't think, go at £20 million.
But if they need to sell him to bring in another right back, like, for instance, if they can flip him for, like, Max Aarons, do you not think they'd be... Actually, I don't know. I think Norwich charge a lot for Max Aarons.
Yeah, I think Max Aarons will go for a lot of money. And I think Max Aarons might end up at Crystal Palace. I think if they let Wan-Bissaka go to Manchester United, he's heavily linked to Crystal Palace today, Max Aarons.
Bloody hell. Yeah, but in that case, then, you're Spurs. Like, you can take him.
Yeah, you can. But then they might identify other areas of the squad, given that Sergio Aurier is also there and has better defensive output than Kieran Trippier this season.
Jesus.
But either way, we can all agree Trippier is good going forward. Like, second most accurate crosses from open play in the Premier League this season, pulling nearly close to 2 key passes per 90 from the right-hand side. Pretty much the only attacking threat down that right-hand side, really, for Tottenham Hotspur.
And most of those, what are they like, open play versus set pieces?
He's not actually that key at set pieces for Tottenham Hotspur, because Christian Eriksen takes nearly every set piece they have.
Which is weird, because I'd actually put Eriksen on the edge of the box, given that and also he's 6 foot tall.
Yeah, and a lot of Tottenham Hotspur fans have also mentioned him not having a great season from dead balls.
Right.
Like a lot of crosses and corners and free kicks not beating the wall or not being the first man. And I also looked at some of the numbers around crosses this season. You know, there's been loads of chat, hasn't there, about, you know, Trent Alexander-Arnold's kind of changing the game for crossing in the UK. Yeah, there was, on comms for England, I believe Gary Neville said that Trent Alexander-Arnold's the best deliverer of a ball since Beckham, and he wouldn't be able to separate the two. In terms of,
I'm not even sure he's the best deliverer of a ball among fullbacks at Liverpool.
I think Trent is the best deliverer of ball in the Premier League.
I think Trent's got far more range. Robertson in a very kind of select amount of positions, maybe, you know, where he's just approaching the 18 yard
but that's
box.
What crossing is like. I mean, like, it depends what you mean. If we're talking about free kicks as well, I mean, to be honest, Eriksen and De Bruyne are still better, but like, if we're talking about just like putting a ball on somebody's head from the wing, I think Robertson does that more often than Trent does.
Well, Robertson's got a nice whip, hasn't he? But I'd say that Trent's got the driven pass, he's got there's more, you know, curl, swerve, like I just think there's more weapons at
but
his disposal.
Equally, I read a study today that somebody had done between 2006 and 2014. They basically studied every cross that was put in to the Premier League.
where are you finding these?
One in every 92 crosses in the Premier League resulted in a goal.
Yeah, which
it's
is a really
absolutely
ineffective...
shocking. That's by far the lowest metric. On average,
the second ball.
On average, a Premier League team, I would imagine that includes the second ball as well.
Breakdowns,
yeah, includes the breakdown. Yeah, on average, a Premier League team puts in 18 crosses from open play per 90, which means a team in the Premier League will only score a cross every 5 games. Like, that is shocking in terms of a metric for scoring goals. Like, really bad.
So you imagine this is boosted by, for instance, I imagine that like Wenger's Arsenal brought this down for a long time, and I imagine Burnley brought this up.
Yeah, for sure, but I wouldn't describe Tottenham Hotspur as sort of like lump it in the box team either.
Yeah,
like,
though, you know which team actually is? Man City. Man City are a crossing side.
Yeah, but I think
they're just
it's
really
a different
good at
type
it.
It's a different type of cross, I think, than like Pep is obviously, like, it's been much heralded, his like thing, get to the byline and pull it back, whereas I feel like Trips
No, but
is
pullbacks
just
are normally, differentiated from crosses in these things. Like, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
De Bruyne last season, I feel like it was pull it back to De Bruyne. De Bruyne will 100% put it on a sixpence in the box, and Aguero will score it.
I mean, in fairness, the study didn't say what type of thing is calculated as a cross.
Okay.
So I've kind of just
Could
said
just
a cross is a cross.
Wide area.
Like, I've just estimated that
it's
Kieran
very
Trippier's
basic
putting
formula.
In an average. But let's just all agree that crossing is a particularly poor metric to score a goal from.
Yes.
And if that is what people will level as Kieran Trippier's greatest asset, then I don't think he should be valued as a 29-year-old at £40 million.
Well, not if he's not a competent defender as well.
Which he absolutely isn't, because he's being dribbled past 28% of the time. Wan-Bissaka is around 8%.
I mean, that is obscene.
It is obscene, but also allows the highest volume of passes inside his position of any fullback in the top six. More attacks ending quality chances down his side than any other area in the Spurs squad.
Jesus.
So, like, I mean, there was one StatsBomb article that pretty much labelled the blame firmly for Tottenham's, like, struggling defence.
This was last season, at his feet. And they were talking about the difference between the three and the four and saying they should basically always play the three.
Yeah, because the centre-back has to cover Trippier. He's, like, that bad defensively. And also, it's so noticeable, the change in statistics, when he is out the squad and Aurier comes into the squad.
Yeah.
Like, a huge change in terms of defensive actions on the right-hand side. And that might well be because Poch is like, look, I just want you to play as a winger, basically, and put the ball in the box, which is fair enough. But the clubs he's linked to Manchester United, I don't think he'd be doing that. Man United need a defender because our defence is all over the gaffs. Two-thirds of Man United's goals came down the right-hand side. That's the most of any team in the Premier League. And at Atletico, he's not going to be a wing-back. He is not going to be playing as a right-winger on that side.
Yeah.
In a Diego Simeone side. Like, Juan Fran was first and foremost an excellent defender.
Yeah, but also he was required to, like, often break forward and help in attacks. Like, when they did get a counter-attack, and Trippier can't do that either.
Because he's averaging, he's like, 0.3 dribbles as well per night. Never takes a man on, ever, Trippier. If he's stood one-on-one, he just crosses the ball. And I don't think it works at Manchester United. I don't think it works at Atletico Madrid. I don't think anybody should be paying the 30, 40 million pounds, whatever that fee is, for a player who's 29 this year at right back. We've discussed options that are better. If a club is going to pay 40 million for Trippier, they may as well pay the 20 to 25 that PSG want for Meunier.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair.
He's 3 years younger, and I think he's probably a much better goal threat. Yeah, going forward.
And he's fucking massive.
Yeah, and I don't know whether he's more of a goal threat because he's playing in a PSG team that are just running over size.
I know, didn't he score a hat-trick for Belgium?
He did score a hat-trick for Belgium.
He used to play as a striker. Yeah.
He's a hilarious.
But if I'm going for, like, an attacking fullback, I'm going for Meunier every day of the week at half the price of Trippier.
And also, when you look at some of the fullbacks around, I actually think that in the last year or so, suddenly the market for right backs has got a lot better. So you did see, like, Kwarteng emerge in Ligue 1. You also had Sofiane Alakouche. You also had Youssef Attal. Like, these are guys coming along who actually look really, really solid.
They've been in with Sakai from Marseille as well, right?
Oh, yeah, they have. He's also like 29.
He's 29, yeah. And he's just more of a defensive presence. I don't think he's particularly spectacular going forward.
Well, I think if Trippier does leave, I'm pretty sure they'll try and get him out of the Premier League.
The problem is he needs to go to a smaller club, basically, where they're like sit deep and defend.
Well, it's quite linked to Napoli.
Bloody hell, though. That's a horrible fit.
I think he'd be quite a nice fit for Inter Milan. That would be where I think he'd be quite a decent fit in that. If Conte does go to that 3-4-3 and he's effectively then just a right winger like Victor Moses was.
Inter Milan's such an easy destination for someone you can't place, isn't it?
Yeah. They've got Vrsaljko.
But Vrsaljko is going to go back. Well, last season they played like D'Ambrosio.
Yeah, who normally is a left back.
Yeah, and Vrsaljko's returning back to Atletico because they didn't include him in the squad list after January.
So, and they're all old as well, those guys. Like, yeah. D'Ambrosio is old. D'Ambrosio and Asamoah are actually both great, I think, but they're both really old.
Yeah, I just think if he's going to play as a wing-back, the other link, that, like, Inter are heavily linked with Moses, aren't they? So if they're going to go for Victor Moses to the tune of sort of 8 to 10 million euros, then I think then, like, Kieran Trippier wouldn't be the worst option. But it's just too much. Tottenham just want too much. But it's just because he's under such a long contract. Didn't he sign a new contract last year?
Mm.
So I think Trippier would be a poor signing for pretty much any of the clubs that have been linked to him.
I think they're just trying to drum up some business, aren't they, and hope they can boost their transfer.
Yeah, you've convinced me, and the first time that a study on crosses has been brought to the table in Sunday Vibes Extra Time.
That was actually in 4-4-2 as well.
Yeah.
So shout out to 4-4-2 who actually, like, don't often do statistical-based articles, but
love it when you're struggling for...
They sound like they would.
You're struggling for a bit of research, and then you stumble across an absolute gold mine, and you're like, you beauty. I have gone for a fairly easy option, and this is a kind of recurring theme in my in my research this week. I've gone Alexis Sanchez, and he's been linked with, well, multiple clubs, a bit like your boy K Trips. But the more interesting angle for me was Alexis Sanchez to Atletico Madrid, and I'm not sure if that's because we were talking about the possibility of Cavani going in other shows, which I'm actually a fan of. But yeah, gravitated towards this angle in particular. So Nino Maravilla, the wonder kid. The wonder kid actually turns 31 this December. And is in desperate need, isn't he, of a new lease of life. Three Premier League goals.
Is he, though?
Three Premier League goals for Manchester United in 18 months.
He's just happy to sit there, though. Like, he will just...
he's so sad.
Wolves. He will. Alexis Sanchez will happily sit in the reserves and take 350 grand.
Yeah, I reckon so.
But he can...
He used to do backflips for coins. I reckon he's like, I'm not going to be poor again. Yeah. I'm fucking making sure of it. Yeah. Which I don't actually have an issue with.
It just strengthens his resolve, yeah. However bad this gets, I will no longer be working in the mines. Yeah, or whatever he was doing beforehand. I think it was something like that. I might have been on a building.
Though he's on so much that it's worth United like subsidizing his wages just to get 250k back a week.
That's my next point. He can actually go and play elsewhere and be on the same money because Manchester United are so desperate to facilitate a move out of the club that they will make sure he's probably, roughly on the same cash, and another top club who think he's worth a gamble, they might be willing to stump up 150, 200, which again, for me, stupid. So according to Calcio Mercato, The Sun, Daily Mail, all these really reliable sources, Atletico have joined Inter and Juve in the race for his signature. And you've touched upon him at Juve in one of your scripts before and kind of poo-pooed that, and I agree. Yeah, I hate it.
Ender Paolo for Alex to accommodate Alexis Sanchez.
And Atletico have been traditionally fucking great at turning over forwards, haven't they? But then you think, this is the side that paid £59 million for Diego Costa after a six-month loan spell where he put 1.7 shots per 90 and he had five individual injuries.
And a hiatus in Brazil, which just included him eating his body weight in chocolate.
And his knee coming off.
I mean, have you seen that video of him tanking through the forest in, I don't know what he's on, like 50, 60 miles an hour on some sort of go-kart? It's absolutely obscene.
To be fair, that is what I'd do if I was
But I can imagine Diego Simeone seeing that and being like, go on, son. You enjoy yourself rather than being like, if you slipped out of that car, you're dead. You're £60 million worth of forward. What are you doing? Subsequently, do you know his numbers of this season? They fell to one shot per game.
Yeah, two goals, two assists all year.
One shot per game.
But what's happened?
And his XG is like lines up with that, with two shots, two goals.
He's not been unfortunate. Murat has been a little bit unfortunate. And fortunately
and it's
for
been
them,
good, actually. Yeah.
Murat has been the signing that they probably wanted Diego Costa to be.
Have they made it permanent, though?
I think they can for about 45, right?
I thought it was a bit more than that. I think it was like, maybe. 55, 57 maybe.
Mm. Oh, Jesus. That might have included the initial loan fee.
But at least he's not old and at least he's scoring. Yeah.
So, I mean, he should be scoring at a rate of 0.6 expected goals and assists.
But even really then, I look at Morata, I'm thinking 55.
I mean, even Morata's only generating two shots per game and we know he's a really mobile forward.
It's an Atleti problem.
Yeah, this is an Atleti problem. I mean, they're ranked seventh for shots taken.
They're bush our season.
Behind some absolute gash. But we'll move on to that. We'll move on to that in a minute. If he came in with a loan offer, that might offset some of the risk, right? And I think United have told his agent, Fernando Felicevic. I don't know. I don't know. I got Felcevic. I've just taken words out there.
You just heard Felch, didn't you? You just got excited.
Felicevic. That they would foot some of the wages to ensure that he finds a new club, like I said. Historically, I would like to have seen him at Atletico Madrid, good little press resistant player as well, which they've traditionally gone for up front because they need players to get them out of sticky positions on the halfway line when they're, employing that deep block and there's 10 men behind the ball. But given Atleti's squad turnover this year, there's additional pressure, isn't there, to get the next moves right. They have to get, especially with Diego Costa and the amount of money he cost, and he's become a white elephant there. They need to get the next moves right, and I'm not sure that Alexis Sanchez is that. So when he joined United, he'd actually been taking four shots and creating three chances a game for Arsenal, contributing to 10 goals over half a season. And
good,
according to XG, he should have actually been closer to 14, which would have been similar to Raheem Sterling this year, 0.8 goal contributions per 90.
Yikes.
Last campaign, though, 1.8 shots per game, one goal, three assists, and 400 minutes fewer than Juan Mata.
And I can honestly say that's kind.
Though, when you look at his per 90 numbers, he has got like three chances created.
But that's also because he only plays against the absolute dross.
I still think if you got him at a club where you could play him like as a centre forward, I still think there's mileage there. It's just that you'd have to pay a lot to do it. Like, Alexis Sanchez is not dead as a player. What he's dead as is a wide player. Like, and when he played centre forward for Arsenal and you just need a little bit of a burst, I think actually he'd still be quite useful. Yeah. But for the money, is it worth it?
I remember when we... Do you remember when he played nine for a little bit? And we were like, yeah, he can do this.
Yeah,
we
though he was better on the wing for
Arsenal.
Yeah,
and we were kind of openly ridiculed for it. But playing down the centre, or maybe as a second striker, yes, you might get one or two good seasons out of him. Or,
yeah.
And I'm playing fast and loose with the word good.
I don't know. I think you'd get a good season.
But I don't think to the level that Atletico Madrid need in the strength... In the face of a strengthening Real Madrid and Barcelona.
I think he'd be horrendous.
Really?
Yeah. Just like having watched nearly all of those 490 minutes or whatever he played for United, just everything's gone.
But
like,
who's...
Totally gone.
But this is... We're talking a sim...
Like the touch, but ball comes into him. It's
so we spoke about Morata. We told you he was going before we sold him to you. We were like, he's going.
And he's
just
totally
like,
gone.
You know how many fucking salt gifts I got sent when I was just like, I wouldn't buy him if I were
Honestly,
Man United?
Honestly, I'm being serious. Like, I've watched... Every time I've watched him, absolutely horrific.
Yeah, I mean, you do have a tendency to go in at the deep end, though, don't you? And when Romelu Lukaku is going through, you know, a tough period, you have touted him for a move to Wolves.
That would be sick.
And he is now going to the West Ham of Italy.
Don't be stealing my phrases.
He could still go to Wolves.
But so I agree in the sense that he's spent as an elite attacker, but I think he can still be a very good / good.
I think you'd competent. I think you'd get probably forward. Less. Than Diego Costa output this
no
season.
No chance.
Nah,
mate.
You wouldn't.
I mean,
even just from free kicks, you'd get more than Diego Costa output.
No.
I mean, Alexis Sanchez, you know, he's tired, he's fatigued. Diego Costa is.
He can't be.
Borderline,
he hasn't fucking played.
Borderline
what's he been doing?
Immobile. I don't know. He's racked up a lot of minutes over the
years.
Yeah,
but he's not tired. He hasn't done anything.
He's still playing for Chile, and he's still awful.
His little body shot to bits.
You know what? This would have been a problem that 4 or 5 years ago Monaco would have solved for you. Yeah. Monaco would have taken him off your hands 4 or 5 years ago. Given him
£1 billion the Chinese would have solved for us.
I think that was what you hoped.
I think that's probably still viable. Let's see what the Copa America, you know, brings us. Because
they'll be dreadful.
If he has a half decent tournament,
he won't.
he won't. Let's be positive though. If he has a half decent tournament, that might at least put him in the shot window for a club like Atletico Madrid to think he's worth a gamble. I'm saying he's not. So actually, I'm agreeing with you, Joe. Just quick reminder of the title. It's players your club should avoid signing.
What about Watford? Seriously, they're owned by the guys who own Udinese, he made his breakthrough.
I think he's only, like, the only... I think sort of levels like Qatar. That's where I think...
All right, that's fucking overboard.
Yeah, you're getting stupid.
Ashley Barnes had, like, 0.6 XG in the Prem last season. It's not that difficult.
It is if you're Alexis Sanchez.
What are you talking about?
It's like when Costa went to Atleti. Literally, it's the same thing. He's
yeah, but
gone.
His knee's
it's
hanging
done.
Off.
It's over.
Alexis hasn't had a career-ending injury four times.
And who may as well have, because he's played so many minutes.
Who's
it's
prospered
just grind
then? Who's,
his legs
who's
down.
Prospered in Man United's attack? And this is becoming a defence for Alexis Sanchez. Yeah, I think the only player under 21 to put up 10 goals in the top five leagues last campaign. Rashford, like, brilliant.
That can't be true.
No, what was it?
Because Sancho got
And Mbappe.
And Mbappe.
Scored... Christ. I can't remember that stuff.
He had a good season, Rashford. He had a really good season. I think this was the season Rashford went from being like Man United fans would tell you he was brilliant to being actually brilliant. Like, he was amazing this season.
It might be the top something divisions of English football. But anyway,
he was really good.
I think what we've...
I admit that people have struggled.
I'm about to start in my bonds. Right, anyway, moving off Man United, Alexis. Let's not get sucked into talking about Manchester United, because Atletico Madrid are losing an attacker, aren't they, in Antoine Griezmann, who was responsible for 37% of their
goals. Yeah, I don't know if they are. I don't know if they can shift it.
Last campaign. I mean, I think PSG is pretty much his only option, although, you know, hearing much more about the league, who we'll move on to in a bit, than Antoine Griezmann these days. Costa's not getting better. We've established that. 6 injuries in 18-19, so one more than 17-18. It's just perpetual.
They're all the same injury, though.
State of that. Yeah,
so, like, hamstring doesn't work. Put some cheese on it.
Yeah, like, six like isolated incidences.
He's like a horse. Put him down.
Yeah, I think his longest stretch out was 13 games, and that's fucking rough.
That is a long period, man.
But so, like I said, eleventh for shots taken, seventh for key passes it was, 11th for shots generated per 90 in the league. For yeah, I mean, it's pretty loose, isn't it? Behind Huesca, Real Vallecano and Celta Vigo.
Relegated Huesca.
Yeah.
Who actually didn't deserve to get relegated.
RIP, pour one out for Huesca. So yes, they do need attacking reinforcements, but I think this does come in the form of someone like Edinson Cavani, who is still taking 1.3 shots per 90 inside the box more than Alexis Sanchez, and can, you know, he's probably more comfortable playing in a two. And
but they need the runner to go alongside Morata.
Atletico Madrid are going to set up. Morata did display.
Why don't they just put the trust in Correa? It's like,
I feel like they've just lost. I feel like they never got faith in him fully.
Yeah, I mean, they play a pretty disciplined 4-4-2, don't they? I think Correa would probably be a very good player in a 4-3-3. Like, we've had him and the likes of Sarabia for Chelsea in the past, haven't we? Playing in the
Sarabia would be good
system
for
they are now.
That'd be really sensible.
I'm seeing Sarabia rumours to PSG as well, which would be horrible for him because he'd just end up like Julian Draxler, very promising young player that gets fuck all minutes.
Well, he's not that young though anymore, at least. He's like 26. Yeah, but yeah. I actually looked at Atleti because I almost did a transfer that I think they shouldn't have made, which was Suso. Like, I like Suso, but it didn't seem like the right fit at all.
Well,
but
his numbers aren't significantly better than Correa's, are they?
I don't know, four goals, 10 assists in the league this season.
Well, not
per 90, but at least he can actually like play those number of games. And like, I was really like not wild about this as a move. I didn't hate it, but I didn't think it was ideal. But actually, apparently he has a 40 million euro buyout. So if you are going to go with like proper centre forwards like Morata, like Cavani, then getting somebody who has three key passes a game like Suso, who's still 25 for 40 mil, does actually sound like better business.
Yeah, and Tamar Lamar plays on the left, doesn't he? And they're going to be needing
on the right as well.
A lot more from him next season in terms of chance creation, in terms of
not
ball progression.
If
they get someone like Cavani, and I think Morata has displayed a willingness to be that more mobile centre forward. At Chelsea, hasn't he? I don't think it's a massive detriment to his game, but I just wouldn't go Alexis Sanchez to Atletico Madrid.
That would be such a rancid move.
They're an absolute. I'd rather go for Martial if I could get him out of United.
You couldn't.
Why? He's not playing there.
Yeah, but he signed a 5-year contract.
Why is he there?
December.
Let's not. But why is he there?
I mean, he signed a 5-year deal in December. So like he would take so much money.
We've literally just forgotten that he exists as a player, like, man. He's such a non-factor.
I think it would would take a vile amount of money. 5 years left on his deal.
Dumb.
Who are you bringing next? Who's your next up?
My next one's Bruno Fernandes to Manchester United.
The new Nico Gaitan.
What's wrong with you? Why are you being so negative about Bruno Fernandes already?
I like Bruno Fernandes, but this is just a move that's never going to happen. Like, this is just Nico Gaitan 2.0. The Portuguese media love the name Manchester United. Sells papers, so he gets linked to us permanently.
Nico Gaitan didn't cut his teeth in Italy.
Nico Gaitan was linked to Manchester United for 5 seasons in a row, and it never once was even remotely happening. And this is the same thing. Like, Bruno Fernandes will be linked to Manchester United until he moves, and Man United will have never been interested. Like, it's just a move that is touted by the Portuguese media because they sell papers via Man United headlines.
I liked Bruno Fernandes though, like when he was a transfer.
Player.
Actually, no, it wasn't even a rumor. But I liked Bruno Fernandes like in 16-17 when he was at Samp, because then he was like 21-22 and had really decent defensive numbers, good creation numbers, good dribble numbers. I thought that he'd be a really good like backup to Eriksen at Spurs, but that is to Eriksen when Eriksen was playing as a 10. I do not know why Man United would be interested in him, except if Pogba leaves. Basically, he's got a lot of hype this season because he got 20 goals, 13 assists in the league, which is mental in like 3,000 minutes. However, six pens, he's in Portugal. I think something like 62% of his shots come from outside the box. So what this looks like to me is a season where everything lined up to give him an absolutely obscene goal tally. And the main element of it was that he plays in Portugal and anyone can... There are people in Portugal who are like 33.
Bazdost.
Yeah, or like Jonas, who still scores a goal a game. Like, he didn't play that much this season, but he still scored a goal a game. And you're like, he's as old as fuck. Like, I just don't... And Pizzi, who's like the best player in the league. Like, you just can't take the Portuguese league all that seriously. And I like Bruno Fernandes as a creator. Like, 3.2 chances created last season. And when he was in Serie A when he was 22, 2.7.
Yeah.
So he is a legitimately great creator, but his defensive work rate has dropped right off. It's like 2 tackles and interceptions a game. It's rancid. And for 60 million euros, which is the kind of mooted price...
Maybe even more than that now.
That is silly money.
Yeah, I totally agree.
For 60 million euros, I want a way more complete player than this. And you know what? I don't know if I can get him for 60 million euros, but I can definitely bring Leicester to the table if I offer 60 million euros for Madison. And actually, 100%. If I were United, I don't know, if Pogba left, I would go for Madison. But otherwise, you know, Madison, Ndidi, Tielemans, actually, all of these players would be better for you than Bruno Fernandes.
Leicester's midfield is like, fucking great.
Tielemans isn't there. And Tielemans probably won't be there.
Right? No, I don't think they do.
No.
No, they don't.
I don't think so.
They don't.
And also, it doesn't matter. Like, they can have an option to buy all they want, but if anyone matches it, then, like, he's going to go to Spurs.
But he
or
wants
United
to work with Brendan Rodgers, mate, okay? So
Bruno Fernandes, like, heavily linked to us, and I see loads of Man United fans on, my like, Man United Twitter being like, oh, we've got to sign Bruno Fernandes. He's a must sign for us.
He is a great comp. That's what he is. He's a great YouTube comp.
Yeah, and he's, like, I just don't see how he fits into the 4-3-3.
You're selling Pogba, basically. If you buy Bruno Fernandes, you're saying we're selling Pogba.
I really don't think we're going to sell Pogba.
Well, exactly.
Like, but nobody's going to match that money for Pogba.
Pogba can be a better player than he is right now. Bruno Fernandes is probably not going to be a better player than he is right now. Like, he's a good player. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but you could spend the money better. If I were you, I'd buy a DM. Like, Ibrahim Song. I love Ibrahim Songare. I've talked about him before, but that doesn't feel very United. Yeah. He's 21. He's playing in the French League. I don't think you're going to entrust DM to him. And Didi would be great, but would probably leave you less money to pay for a centre-back. Barella would be good, but I think he's going to stay in Italy. So to me, the guy to go for would probably be Santiago Caceres out of Villarreal.
He's only 22, isn't he?
Well, yeah, I talked about him last year.
Way too smart for United.
I talked about him last year. Well, you've done business with Villarreal before, but I talked about him last year when Atleti were first linked with Rodri, because Villarreal brought him in from Vélez Sarsfield to replace Rodri. And he's a pretty similar player, like big defensive output, like 4.5 tackles and interceptions game. He's actually between Ndidi and Wan-Bissaka for tackles completed a match. So obviously very solid there. An amazing passer, like 50 passes a game, 91% accuracy. Hits 4 long balls a game and has a completion rate of 75% just on long passes, which is absolutely
I think
nuts.
It's too smart for United. Like,
I think so as well, but like, you know, if I'm playing
fantasy, we don't have a good time of identification for that.
Fantasy GM, like, I mean, he lost the ball 5 times in 23 games our season. Indeed, he lost it 36 and 38.
Like, I think surprising. Like, United are clearly, we don't have good talent identification at the best of times, and I think that United have gone down this route of we're going to sign British and we're going to sign young this summer, and that's why I think we probably will sign Wan-Bissaka. I'd be surprised if that deal doesn't get done.
Like, it'd be silly not to.
Generally, if United go in at like 40 to 50, they end up getting their man eventually, whether it means they have to pay the 60 to 70 or not. They end up just going, yeah, come on. Whatever,
so you think we'll Rice or Longstaff is basically,
I think
the
it'll
midfield.
Probably be like a Declan Rice. I think that's more of a poor Manchester United decision-making process.
I don't necessarily hate Declan Rice. You're just going to hugely overpay for him.
I think
Declan Rice is actually a really good player, like, in the making, and would be, and at least he's a DM. Like, so I give them credit for that. But he doesn't solve your issues immediately. You're going to hugely overpay for the guy. Like, basically, you're going to be in a situation where next year, I think Norwich are going to have a better defensive midfielder than you. Like, that's not a good situation for you to be in. That's not a joke, by the way. Like, Norwich have a good defender. No, Tom Tribble. Like, who's like an absolute rock in the centre of their midfield.
But the other thing is if United do sell Pogba, like, the rumours are is that they want an attacking mid, they want a defensive mid, they want a centre-back and a right-back.
Good, that is what they should be looking for.
Because obviously they've already bought Dan James in, so probably you can wipe out your right-winger. I think, like,
really, you think he's going to be the winger?
No, he won't start. He won't start, but I think Solskjaer's probably going to be like, okay, that's going to do for our forwards. Like,
going to hope that Dan James can contribute at 21 to Manchester United.
I think Solskjaer's going to hope.
Bloody hell.
The only way we bring in another forward, in my opinion, is if we sell Lukaku, which now seems like it might well happen. I mean, did you hear his quotes? Were you in the office when I read out his quote earlier?
Was that real?
When it was like, Conte's the best manager in the world.
I respect my club,
I watched
so
the
I
interview. Whatever. I watched the interview, and they're more the words of the interviewer, and he agrees. So it's a bit of a contrived quote, but he definitely says that, like, that. There's a few dodgy quotes in there about Manchester United, which signal that he's quite clearly into joining an Italian
team.
But
if you let him go, I don't even know who you go for.
It's going to be... they would have to spend a lot of money, wouldn't they? They're going to go and spend a lot of money. No, I don't think so. I'd be
and
Icardi's
being linked with Juve as a swap for Dybala with Inter.
Well, obviously,
sick.
Well, but Dybala will be Man United's number one choice if we go.
Well, that would be amazing. Antonio Conte's come in and he's just like, I categorically do not want Icardi, because that that could set just a carousel,
And I bet Lukaku would be filthy for Inter.
Yeah, I think if Lukaku does go, United are going to go all guns blazing for Dybala.
If you got Dybala, that would be fantastic. And actually, if you got Dybala, you could afford to think about letting Pogba leave, because you'd get so much creativity and ball progression out of Dybala.
Well, whilst we're on the topic of Manchester United, let me just flow straight into this, unless you've got anything else to add on yours.
No, except that Casares has a 30 mil release clause, which seems like a sensible move if I'm perhaps going to have to pay an extra 15 to get Wan-Bissaka over the line.
When we did our new section on transfer review, which is where we bring one transfer to the table, basically, instead of transfer shocker, I took a good look at Casares, and there's not many players around that age in La Liga who are putting up that sort of contribution. They're kind of like Rodri levels of defensive numbers. But stumbled across Maximovic as well, Getafe. He's only 24. I think he's not good enough on the ball for a top 5-6 club in the Premier League.
Yeah.
But I do think around that kind of 7-10 mark, he'd be an interesting proposition as well.
I just don't think, you know, his identification of talent is that good. Like, they'll go party.
I've also found that,
to be honest, party would be fantastic.
£40 million.
Yeah. I almost thought about Thomas Partey as an option for you, because he's a tremendous player.
I've got the Rashford stat. It is
okay.
The only player aged 21 or under that scored 10 plus Premier League goals last season, and no player did that in Serie A or La Liga.
So
just take out the French league
and the German league. So take out the leagues where they did do it, and in all the other leagues
where there's a tendency for young players to play.
But let's talk about another player that's been linked to Manchester United, and also to the other Manchester team, obviously Pep City, is Harold Maguire.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, I don't think this
Slabbers.
Would be... Okay, now I'm going to caveat this a bit similar to Pato did. I think this would be an okay signing, but I think at the right price. Which it won't be. Absolutely. 26 years old, and the touted price this morning was £85 million.
He's not... If I were buying defenders from Leicester, he wouldn't even be in my top three that I'd go for. I'm not saying he's not in the top three defenders there, but he's not in the top three I'd target.
So
Chilwell, Pereira. Definitely. And then I think if I wanted like an interesting centre-back, I would genuinely pick up Benkovic off them. Like, not like as an immediate starter for a United, but Maguire, you're going to overpay by about £40 million. You're paying the whole cost of another defender.
Well, I said today, I think he's probably I think £50 million a fair fee for Harry Maguire.
I think that's what I'd expect to pay as opposed to what he's worth.
Yeah,
but I'd
that,
be okay
that
with that.
That feels fair, and you'd probably get to 50 starting at
40. Yeah. Well, Manchester City heavily linked over the last week, obviously looking to replace the outgoing Vincent Kompany, who's obviously joined Anderlecht as a player manager. Otamendi also.
There's parallels in the game, Kompany and old Howard.
Yeah, and Otamendi's also been heavily linked with a move away. With Atletico have been linked this morning, and West Ham, interestingly enough, which I think would be a kind of funny signing alongside.
Well, he paid under Pellegrini.
Player I'm going to talk about in a minute.
I like Otamendi.
Now there are some positives. Like, we all know Harry Maguire's biggest positive is probably aerially, because he is 6'4" and an absolute slabhead. And Pep has talked up numerous times this season the biggest weakness is Manchester City is their aerial ability.
To be fair, you're getting a lot of cranium. You're getting a lot of skull for that amount. Like a lot of real estate.
A lot of
skin on
the I was looking for quotes from Pep about the defensive thing, and I could have like rattled off 10 to 20 quotes about their lack of ability from set pieces from him this season. He said, like, one of my favourites was, "I'm the tallest guy at City, so when it's a set piece, we go to church and pray." Like, he basically has said on numerous occasions that, well, I think he kind of thinks it's because they haven't got any tall players. Like, Laporte's 6'2" is the tallest player in the outfield.
Okay, but Walker is big for a fullback. Walker's over 6 foot, or maybe is 6 foot. Stones is obviously over 6 foot. If Mendy's fit, Mendy's like 5'11 or 6 foot.
Yeah.
Like, if you play Sane is 6 foot. Like, there are tall players in the squad. It's just none of them fucking play because all their players are 5'7".
Yeah, I agree, and I think look, Maguire has the best aerial duel success in the whole Premier League. And obviously 6'4", and he looks 6'8", doesn't he? He's just huge. Like, his head adds an extra 3 inches onto him. Like, even when he plays for England, he's noticeably massively bigger than John Stones.
I mean, his skull could be like, you know, like those books you'd get as a kid where it would be like, look at this guy who died in in Hull. Look at the size of his fucking
But like
bum.
When he stood next to John Stones.
And you could buy a sample of it in the shop at the very end of the tour.
Or even Kyle Walker. When those kind of three are stood at the back, he looks a foot taller than him. And I don't know what.
I mean, as heralded as Gareth Southgate's set piece routines are, they all ultimately the pre-assist comes from Maguire's head.
It's just they're not clever at all. It's Boot it at Maguire.
Yeah. And
Maguire's head
obviously
will
Harry
cannon it.
generally wins it. But as he's actually decent on the ground as well. Like he's underrated with his feet.
He's not as good as he thinks he is, but he is.
But
good.
How about this for a stat? This is a stat I found out. Yeah?
He's great at stepping out.
He's completed the most dribbles of any defender in the league over the last two seasons, including fullbacks.
What's that percentage wise though? Like in terms of attempts?
I'm not too sure, but he can't have attempted more than fullbacks. Like, I get that he steps out, but fullbacks are constantly trying to take their man on.
But how is that possible? Because, like, Wan-Bissaka's completing, like, two dribbles a game, and he's not the most... Like, Pereira was completing, like, three dribbles a game.
Yeah, but they've only really had one good season, I guess.
So this is one of those things where it's like, David Silva's created the most chances since David Silva
came to the Prem. But I think he's completed 88 dribbles in the last two seasons. Which is a huge amount.
So it's like one and a bit a game.
Yeah, which is pretty impressive for a centre-back. He's also got like an 88% pass accuracy, 8 deep progressions as well from centre-half, which are pretty impressive.
That is kind of how they play a little bit.
Yeah, he is.
I think that'll actually go down under Rodgers.
They are very relied upon for Harry to put the ball into the feet of Maddison a lot as well.
I mean, and you can afford to do that when you've got a guy who's making 4.5 tackles and interceptions in front of you, can't you, in Wilfred Ndidi? And especially with the extra protection.
He's over 6 tackles and interceptions. Indeed.
The extra... I was looking at per match and maybe per night is better. Are you looking at, is that understat?
Yeah, no, it's not. It's just who scored, yeah.
I thought it was less than, slightly less than Idrissa Gueye, who was around like...
I think they were about the same level this season. He might have been ahead of
Gueye.
I think
he made
one
more tackle in total, didn't he, than Idrissa Gueye, which was... I'd like to think that them two were like really aware of that.
I feel like they probably were.
Yeah, that'd be class.
Either way, like, I really like Maguire. Like, I think he'd be a great signing for a Manchester United or a Manchester City.
In the mid-2000s, you know, when United would go on a spree every summer where they pick up the best player from like 3 or 4 of the Premier
League. Yeah, doing a buy-in.
Fergie would have bought him.
Would 100% have bought
him. And
he'd
have cost $25 million. Yeah. And everyone would have been like, that's a bit steep. And then it would have been great.
Yeah. I mean, like, there are other options, even in the Prem, that I think you could pick up for cheaper that are better. Like, I think Issa Diop would be. I think Issa Diop would be a great signing for City.
Ooh.
At 22, I think West Ham will deal for cheap. I think he'll deal. They deal for cheaper than Leicester with Maguire.
Kanate, he's fucking massive.
Yeah, Kanate. I mean,
what's that guy called at Southampton who's 8 feet tall?
Oh, yeah,
Vestergaard. Yeah. He's 1,000 feet tall.
He had a horrible first half of the season. Then suddenly Hasenhüttl like rebooted his heart.
I saw him fall down in a game, and it was like that footage you see, you know, of like an iceberg crumbling into the sea.
But like, you know, Issa Diop. Like, I asked the West Ham supporter in the office, like Mike Atkins. Issa Diop. What sort of area would you be willing to sell? He just looked me in the eye. Just went, he's our best defender for the last 20 years. So God knows.
Indeed, he is 6 tackles and interceptions,
which is just that's crazy.
Don't know why I'm thinking of at 4.5. I mean, these numbers mean
an incompetent oaf.
These numbers mean nothing now to me.
So yeah,
like fucking matrix.
I think Harry Maguire would be a good signing, but I think he's just way over doubled his value just because he's got a big head.
And he's English.
And he's English, yeah.
He's not old either. He's 26.
Yeah, 26. Yeah. So it'd be a good signing, but just overpriced.
You know what? In a back three, he's very, very good in a back three as well. Like, if you want to play that system, like I could see him.
Pep does though.
No, not Pep, which is kind of why.
Has at times though.
But
with the returning Benny Mendy, he might go. And Luke,
the perpetually returning.
Should have been Conte should still be at Chelsea, and he should have been Gary Cahill's long term.
Bloody hell! That would have been such a Chelsea move, wouldn't it? To pick up like a slightly
Maguire is the most Manchester United signing ever, though. Just is, like, we always sign young English centre backs, Smalling,
and I feel
Jones.
And if you signed him, I feel like all of the flaws in his game would become very apparent.
Well, yeah,
and all of the strengths would somehow disappear.
Because we never crossed the ball.
He's just bumbling up the touchline, getting robbed.
It would be like best aerial duel success rate of any player in the Prem, and then we wouldn't take a single... All of our corners would be short. It's exactly that sort of thing. Like, he'd run 8 yards up, and then it'd just be a short corner and lose the ball.
I don't want him at Arsenal, but it would be kind of funny if he went to Arsenal just from the point of view of like watching commentators not know what to say about Arsenal.
Yeah.
Where they'd be like, oh, they need some strength in the air, they need some steel, and then they'd be like Harry Maguire just like heading everything away like he was playing fucking beach volleyball. Like, he's like a seal. Like, just everything that comes near him bounces off the front of his face.
Go on then, while we're on the topic of setbacks, you go on to yours.
Well, we need to wrap this up, don't we? Because Liv's coming in here to film our podcast very soon. Which is very fortunate, you know, because it's almost like I haven't done a lot of research for this. Because I just think it's completely redundant. And I couldn't really escape De Ligt moving to PSG. And I was just in total dismay, really, that a guy of his ability. I do think there's...
If it happens, it's a big if.
Okay, it's a big if. But
what's the problem with this?
But it looks like it might happen. I do think there's a bit of a tendency to get all forlorn about people moving to PSG. They're a top club. He's going to win domestic trophies, and he will help them push on in the Champions League. And they can promise him, you know, will be in the conversation for that competition. You know, and there's probably, what, 6 or 7 clubs that can do that in Europe. But I just think... and they do need him, by the way.
Thiago's old.
Thiago's, what, 34 now, Thiago Silva. Kimpembe's 23. Tilo Kehrer's 22. But after that, it's a bunch of youngsters who I've not really got a lot of experience of watching.
Marquinhos is there, though.
Marquinhos is... I always think of Marquinhos now as more of a midfielder.
So do I.
But he only did that this season, and they have now brought in 2 midfielders since Marquinhos was mostly playing there. Like they brought
Tuchel's just like, that's you now, though.
Yeah, but they're also linked with Weigl, like 3 midfielders, and they still play Marquinhos. But
I think after the league, they're more likely to go after Donnarumma. Like I've seen a lot.
Boy.
That's gathered a lot of pace. I think they'll try more so for these moves than players like Weigl, I think, first and foremost.
I feel they're like nailed on to pick up the hair on 3 next season.
They need some fullbacks, man.
Yeah, I mean, that would be nice, wouldn't it? So DiMarzio is saying that Mino Raiola is in Paris, you know, or he's been in Paris this week to try and get the deal across the line. And the reported wage is $350,000 per week. I mean, he's 19. Like, paying a 19-year-old $350,000... You almost can't say no at that age to that amount of money, because it just like, I mean, he could go, I think to Manchester United on similar money, Barcelona for an awful lot less, or, you know, Real Madrid for marginally less. But yeah, I feel like he's been put in a position where it's just like saying no is untenable for non-football related matters.
The one thing I do think, I always think about Mino though, is Mino always does right by his client. Like, he always takes the money.
That's not necessarily just like in footballing terms, is it?
Like, no, 100%. But like, I think he's going to be a guaranteed star at PSG. And the one drawback of this, the only drawback of this, I think, is that if you go, you've got fuck all chance of getting out unless you run your contract down. Like, PSG
need to go and like on a 4-year deal and basically say to himself,
that's it,
I'm never signing a new contract.
Yeah.
And the great thing about, I mean, being 19 and, you know, even signing a 4 or 5 year contract, which they would probably dictate, is that he could walk out of there on a fucking Bosman at the peak of his powers and get paid even more because he's signing for, you know, a Barcelona on a free.
Yeah.
And there's no fee involved, and he can, you know, Mino Raiola would no doubt slap that in his wages. He's no doubt factored that into his plan somewhere down the line. And I feel like Mino Raiola, you know, his 3-month suspension that was set to end the day after the English Premier League transfer window shut, which was for a 2015 dealing, by the way. We were kind of guessing as to what this might be in previous podcasts.
Yes,
Scamacca, who went from Roma to PSG, or Scamacci, you probably say, wouldn't you? Not Scamacca, fuck's sake. He went from Roma to PSV in 2015. I think he's been bouncing around, you know, clubs like Sassuolo and Pec Zvola ever since. But
They tapped him a day early, didn't they?
Cass have lifted that now, so he's free.
When did that happen?
I don't know if it's as of this morning, but he's no longer suspended. He's free to he's free to deal again. And,
I mean, his suspension meant literally nothing. Yeah, nothing. But just fine.
Well, his agency was literally just dealing for
him. They also suspended his cousin, or his, I think it was his nephew or his cousin, as if to say, you know, that's his plan B. We've cut him off at source. There's no other way he gets business done. Because originally it was supposed to just be Italy, but it's not that. Then it was European wide, and now it's not. At least according to this article I read in Sport Witness. Anyway, but I don't know where you boys think he should go. I mean, I'd love to see him at Liverpool playing next to Van Dijk. I would prefer to see him at Manchester United over PSG, but Manchester United are a much less appealing project, aren't they? You know, there's no kind of semblance.
United would be bottom of the barrel if I was a player.
Juventus, apparently, according to...
Nah, fuck that.
Christ, what's his name?
That'd be such a good move.
I can't remember what his name is. But really? They're the dark horses in this. So obviously Barzagli's retired, 37. Chiellini's, 33, 34. Bonucci's getting on a bit as well. Apparently they're making... bigger strides behind the scenes than any other club apart from PSG.
They've already spent a ton of money on defenders this window. They bought a defender from Genoa and loaned him back for 30 mil. They bought another defender who spent half a season in Italy. I can't remember with whom, maybe with Sassuolo. They've bought him and they're going to loan him out again. So like that's like 50 mil, by the way, they've spent on those two guys. So they're really, really juicing their back.
If I was De Ligt, I think that's like, for me personally, that would be my like number one, like that would be my option, would be Juve. Like at Barcelona, I don't think you get the game time.
That would also mean selling Regani as well, wouldn't it? Like Regani's not going to stick around if they bring in De Ligt.
I think they keep him.
If they've just bought in £50 million worth of talent, Daniele Regani is, I think, waiting to put. I don't think he's put over 2,500 minutes in for Juventus like, in his career yet. Like he's 24. Like he would need to go. I imagine.
Unless they drop two guys you've never met before, like in the center of that back line. Which
if I was De Ligt though, that would be my number one option. You're gonna get a starting spot if you go to Juve for that money. You just are. You're playing with. Okay, aging, but like a lot to learn from a Chiellini and a Bonucci. Probably the outstanding fullback combination outside of Liverpool and Bayern Munich.
And they're going to sell at least one of them.
Let's hope they don't sell Cancelo there. Just on the presumption they don't sell Cancelo.
But they will.
You've got an incredible midfield. Cristiano's there. Like,
what
Paolo
do you mean
Dybala's
an incredible
there.
Midfield? I feel like you're joining a club which is on like a downward swoop. Like it's losing an incredible back line, like it will be losing them over the next couple of years. Like they're going,
at
to,
least 3 years
they're going to let Dybala go. Well. Ronaldo is still good but in decline. Like they might lose João Cancelo, who's an incredible fullback. Like I would look at them and I'd be like, joining Juve, great. Joining Juve now, especially with Sarri coming in, I think I'd rather pay under Tuchel than Sarri.
But this is the sort of move. These are the sort of moves that Juventus should be making, you know, they've got a generation's worth
of
talent
to
replace, haven't they?
They just will make him. Like, you know they're just going to go and get the best players out of every Serie A club.
I mean, I'd rather see him at Juventus than PSG.
Like, when Ronaldo goes, they just will sign the next best talent that comes out of that league. Or they will go and get João Felix. Like, if I was De Ligt, I'd be way more confident in the longevity of Juventus than I would PSG.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
I mean, if you sign a four-year contract as De Ligt, and you know that Mbappe's probably got a year left, or Neymar's got a year left, then all of a sudden you're kind of back where the PSG project began, aren't you? Where you've kind of got a bunch of players who are below Galactico level, in inverted commas, who are getting to the last 16 of the Champions League.
I'm sure people will be like at home screaming like Barcelona, Barcelona. But even like Barcelona, I just don't know whether I want to go and play under Valverde. Like, you're probably the least inspiring manager of any of the clubs I'm linked to. Like, Sarri, you're going to go and play at least an attractive brand of football. I might not enjoy it the most.
And also,
Tuchel the same, but Valverde, it's like, ugh.
And also, I've kind of just not ignored his potential move to Barcelona, because obviously, you know, Frankie's been asked at every given opportunity if his countryman's going to join him at the club. But I feel like they need him the least out of the clubs that we've mentioned. Like Valverde, for all his kind of conservative, you know, ism, is put together, well, by the end of the season, at the very least, at the start, they had a bit of a stinker, didn't they? A very competent defence. And if Umtiti, if they can, who knows what Umtiti's going to be like after the injuries and the kind of falling out with the club. But Longley, Umtiti, PK, like that, fine group of centre halves. They've got 100%. Bigger fish to fry in that squad, haven't they?
Yes.
Like replacing Busquets, for example, and that's kind of why I count them out. I feel like De Ligt is a player they really, really want, but can't justify spending another 75
especially
mil,
not if they do
and paying him fucking
end up paying it for
exactly
Real Madrid. Whatever you
so I suppose where would you want him to go?
I don't know if I want him to go there, but I think Real makes sense.
Real Madrid, Joe.
Want him to go to United. Think he'll end up at PSG.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up at PSG. Would like to see him at Juventus or Liverpool. And that's that for this week, guys. Who are your transfers you don't want to see happen? Let us know on Twitter. Let us know on Instagram. All of the above. Let's go straight into facts and get this.
It's a fact. Facts.
Right then, so it's me this week on facts. And my theme is guilt. I've been revisiting
guilt. This is so negative.
I've been revisiting my Catholic roots, and you know that was one of the predominant themes that came to mind.
Are you Catholic?
My family are. I'm not.
Oh,
right. So things that have made me feel guilty in the past. Mm. Right. One truth, two lies, isn't it? I've nailed this.
One truth, two lies. He's finally got it, guys.
Cottondon.com. Right. I stole my friend Oliver Watson's Tony Cotty sticker because full it name. Was the only... What'd you say?
Full name. Googleable.
Full named him.
Hello.
Shame dirty.
Shout out to Ollie Watson Fitness. If you are looking to get into shape in the Leicester area, then please drop him a line. Yeah, I stole his Tony Cotty sticker because it was the only one of my Merlin Premier League sticker book that I hadn't completed of the Leicester City side.
That's rude.
And, if you knew him, you'd understand. I once stole free milks from year one. And when I was caught by my teacher, Mrs. Davenport, I fainted when she told me off.
Ooh.
And number three, I once staged a poker match in secret, a clandestine poker match at my house when we were about 14, which was interrupted by police.
Oh,
I mean, that last one sounds super implausible.
Let's start with the first one, which was, just remind me.
The Tony Cotty sticker.
The Tony Cotty sticker, which year are we looking at here? Which Merlin sticker book are we looking at here?
Oh, Christ, this must have been late 90s.
This feels like Chris Hamill might have looked around the office for inspiration, seen your sticker book.
Ooh.
And been like,
big
shout.
The Panini tabloid is floating around the office today. One sticker off. If anybody does have the number 25 for the Panini tabloid, please send it to us. That's all we're missing.
We need to set up a PO box.
And you feel guilty about this. How did you steal it? He had it, but it hadn't been stuck in, or you unpeeled it from his book?
I went round his house, his dad's house, and we had dinner. We watched Power Rangers. And I distinctly remember him trying to push me down the stairs.
As we pronounce it in the South.
Power Rangers.
You're like, Power Rangers.
Had you stuck it in your book?
Power Rangers. No, he had a wad of them, an elastic band around them. Tony Cotty, of course, he's a massive Leicester fan. Tony Cotty sitting at the top. Chris. His dad was a huge Tony Cotty fan as well, because actually not Premier League legend, because he was banging when it was like, Division One.
Sure.
And I said, will you swap me that? And he's the type of guy who wouldn't do it just to wind me up. And I distinctly remember him trying to push me down the stairs that day as well. And he had no carpet on his stairs. And there was those little nails, like at the
carpet nails.
Yeah, right where the kind of back of the step is.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And by
I've been ripping those up at my staircase.
By the end of the day, I just had enough of him. Yeah, and he stuck some of my stickers, my swaps, in my beans in the dinner that we'd had. And I just thought, fuck him, I'm taking that Tony Cotty sticker, come rain or shine. And I robbed it.
So when you say you feel guilty, what you mean is you don't feel guilty at all about this.
Because he was a scumbag.
In retrospect, I shouldn't have stooped to those levels, Patrick, and that's why I feel bad.
There's a lot of detail in there, Pater, a lot of detail. Some would say too much detail.
Yeah, but I feel like all of that was made up of very just plausible
beans,
interchangeable
Power Rangers
elements. Yeah, it's just like, I went around his house
beans
and we had alphabet spaghetti, and then we played on the N64. Like, it's just
the
like
name of the game,
yeah,
you little
right.
bitch.
It's just like fucking
okay.
It's just Mad Libs.
Number two was
what year was that, by the way?
I would say I must have been like 7 or 8. So 90. Yeah, like I said, between 96 and 98.
Interesting.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Okay, what was number two?
Maybe 99, maybe a bit later. Number two was I stole free milks.
Free milks?
Because
I was
an absolute
three milks
reprobate
or
in year one.
Three milks.
Going around my fingerboard.
Yeah.
Three
milks or free milks?
Free, F-R-E-E.
If they're,
okay.
if they're
so
free,
how could you steal free?
Steal them?
Because you only got free milks if your parents earn under X amount.
Why do you say free milks?
They're called free milks.
Free milks.
Are they not just called free milk?
But there was many milks on the tray, plurals.
But you could say
you could wheel away with a couple.
So why did Miss Davenport pull you on that?
Because
a thieving bastard.
I lied to the dinner lady that I qualified for free milks just because I fucking wanted milk.
And you probably looked like you did. I don't know why.
Horrible bearded bastard.
I don't know why I'm going down this road.
Okay.
Okay, right.
You were unwashed.
Sorry,
that day.
Year was this?
Leicester Scout.
How old were you?
So year one. How old are you in year one? You've just come out of 4+, so around 5 or 6.
How do you remember? I don't remember anything from year one. Anything below the age
I have some
of 12.
Yeah, year
very
one, you're
distinct
like,
memories.
You're like 6, right?
Yeah, but you only remember things that are
that weigh heavily on the emotions, don't you? And when Mrs. Davenport is giving me a bollock in, it's something I'll never forget.
Doesn't everyone just get like free milk at like... No. Actually, no, that's primary school. Like, yeah. I remember getting free milk at nursery school.
Do you know what? I think it might have been...
How everyone remember got nursery?
Milk. Everyone yeah. got milk.
Remembering
I remember the milk element. The milk was
now, I think it might have been because I had packed lunches as well. And I was just like, I'm not into this fucking juice box or whatever that I might have had that day. Sure,
yeah. Surely they're giving out free milk. Is it that milk rationed and bongo. Milk? Is it that rationed?
On the wire,
maybe in Leicester.
That's crazy. Rats if milk. It's like that yeah. definitely wasn't the case where
maybe
I
in Leicester
from.
They're just like oh, they're just be good
they're
if one
milk
person
out left,
family.
Right, and centre down in Devon. Yeah. Who wants one?
Yeah, but that's the
come
countryside.
Come and drink out the teat of him. all right, number three.
Come drink out the teat of him.
What was number three?
Of him as well.
No, that was the best bit.
Of him.
Fuck me. It's like someone just pointing at a cow being like, have a suckle of that, my lad.
Number three is, why did the police interrupt the poker, though?
A neighbour ratted us out.
But what for doing what? It's not illegal
yeah, it's
to
not
gamble.
Crime.
Yeah, but things got a little bit raucous. Basically, we'd been stashing away, I know, mental. We'd been stashing away alcohol for a couple of weeks because we were like, you know, we'd watched, it might have been Casino.
I'm also familiar with this, you know, everyone steals a bit of booze from their house over the course of a couple of weeks. Yeah,
yeah, and then storing it in like fruit shoot bottles and just, just really obscene alcohol as well. Like it became like a,
Jesus.
Like collecting the alcohol was more fun than drinking it. And it was like, I just had like the weirdest array of alcohols like by the time it came to this night, and people were drinking like absinthe, people were drinking just straight gin. And it was horrific, and things got a little bit out of control.
I remember like having nights where it would be like red wine, Strongbow, and like Bailey's.
Yeah,
it was like the worst possible.
And what, so they
sling a Frosty Jackson,
so what caused the
measure.
Neighbors to call the police, because surely the neighbors came around and went, can you calm down? You went, yeah, sound.
Well, it didn't say
I bet
yes,
none of
Sam.
You knew how to play poker. Probably,
it was
so,
Texas Hold'em.
Of course. It's the simplest one.
We were learning, let's say. My friend Oliver, not the same Oliver that you know I robbed the Tony Cotty sticker off, he's opened the French doors into my back garden and he's hurled what can only be described as a small mound and half a pancreas. And that's brought the attention of my auntie Pat next door, not you know, technically my auntie, but you know.
Yeah, sure.
Shout out.
Someone your parents know.
Yeah, just shout out. And yeah, she wasn't best pleased.
So your parents, Frank, called the police on you?
Not her, but she noticed it first, and then it kind of became a little bit more endemic.
I feel like it may have just slipped then. I feel like the Auntie Pat thing. I feel like she might well have come around and gone, oh, yeah, okay.
It became a little
down.
The like annoyance of the street. Like,
right.
Not sure there. I feel like there's a slip there.
Didn't really get on with the people to the left of us. Auntie Pat was the first to be pissed off, and then it kind of got, well, it just got gradually more out of control from there.
I feel like when Auntie Pat comes around, then you'll calm down. I'm not sure about that. I think that'll be a little slip there, boy.
Why is one of your eyes really red?
It's just gone. Hay fever's just suddenly kicked in.
What's your instinct?
Do you get a pink
here?
Eye from that cow? Is fucking teat you've been suckling on?
My instinct is probably number one. Because of the level of detail.
Okay. Because I'd say one or two. What was two again? Milk?
Two was milk. Just seems...
Fainting is like an outrageously pussy move.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you passed out. Was you like calcium overload or something? What was it?
I was just off my frothing at the mouth.
To be fair, his guts are grim. Yeah. So three milks might have tipped him over. Yeah.
But even as a young boy.
It was calcium deficiency. What? She was actually shaving there.
So you fainted or did you feign fainting? I don't think we covered the fainting bit.
I just hit the deck. Like, I think
that's
I just,
not an explanation. Like, do you mean you like dropped?
Did you
or
fake
do you,
it?
Did
you
actually
fake it?
She didn't drop me.
Were
for
you
drinking
faking
three
it?
Milks. Was it on purpose?
Yeah. Were you faking it?
No.
You actually fainted in fear.
What a pussy.
Dropped all your milk.
My 6-year-old self. Yeah, no point crying over spilt milk, is there? But I did faint.
All right, my instinct's number one with the sticker.
My instinct's two, but I'll go with your one.
Okay,
No, go with
that.
I
should
have
shat me there. We'll go one.
That is incorrect. I was incorrectly claiming free milks and fainted when Miss Davenport told me off.
Such a Hamill move. Fucking hell.
Wait, you fainted.
Such a Hamill move.
Fainted because of Miss Davenport.
Well, she had a certain way about her, mate. It was the fact I disappointed us so much is why I couldn't live with myself.
Unbelievable. Right, let's wrap this up before this hay fever takes over my entire body and spits me out.
Yeah, Joe's eyes literally pulsating and it's absolutely vile to witness. So thank you very much for watching this podcast. If you haven't checked out watching. Other podcasts, watching, soon, listening.
Soon come.
Go and watch Olivia's, listen to Olivia's. And goodbye. God bless. Godspeed.